Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Today we're going to have an open forum. I want to talk about the report that was released a week or two ago, a nationwide study from Harvard University and the University of California at Berkeley that found that Columbus is among the least promising places in the nation for children to climb the financial ladder, that is, children from low-income families to climb the financial ladder. Rita Price wrote about it for the Columbus Dispatch last week. Tom Borgerding reported on it today on WOSU. If you want to check that out, we have links. We'll put a link into the Dispatch article. If you're a subscriber, you can read it. What do you think? Were you surprised by this report? Do you have an explanation you'd like to share with our listeners? I'm very curious. I've been out of town. I don't know what people have been saying about it, but I hope they've been talking about this. Give me a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can use our Facebook page and post your question or comment there, and you can tweet us at you can tweet us at WOSU All Sides. Okay. So what was even more shocking in a way, Columbus ranked 45th out of 50 cities. Okay. 45th out of 50 cities. But all of Ohio's metro areas fared poorly. Still, the Columbus area, Central Ohio, was the last of the state metro areas in the study's main measure of intergenerational mobility. What do you think? What did you make of that? Were you surprised? I was surprised. We're always hearing how great Columbus is doing, and so forth. There are some explanations I've been thinking of, but we need to ask why, and we need to think about how we can change that. I was equally surprised or shocked to find that Charlotte and Atlanta are 49th and 50th, respectively, on that list. I thought those were the big up-and-coming places. So what does that mean? What are we really talking about here? Detroit, of course, came in 47th. All right. I think they've got a little bit of an excuse, if you want to put it that way. Indianapolis, another surprise. 48th. But Charlotte and Atlanta at the bottom of the barrel, that really surprised me. There's something maybe a little deeper going on here. I don't know. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I know we've got some callers coming in, but there's still plenty of room to get in line. We're going to talk about this all hour, and I want to hear what you have to say. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It's an open forum, and we're talking about the nationwide study by economists from Harvard University and the University of California at Berkeley that showed Columbus, ranked 45th out of 50 cities in intergenerational upward mobility. Dave in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Dave.
Hi. I don't think this is really surprising. I think Columbus, by and large, the school system is poor. Suburban schools are good, but I think there's a real gap also in opportunity. If you don't have a college degree, what else do you do? I mean, what other, you know, how many real strong jobs are available for technical backgrounds? The union backgrounds aren't really strong here.
Was never a big manufacturing town, though. I mean, if you compare it to Detroit, I certainly would have put it in ranks with, say, a Detroit. But what do you make of the Atlanta and Charlotte? I mean, weren't we all under the impression that these were booming economies and they were, you know, where everybody should be going?
Well, Columbus is kind of the place where you came from, you know? Mm-hmm. Everybody comes from Columbus, and then they go someplace else to live, mm-hmm. and then they don't really come back. And that's kind of a problem. I think opportunity is missing because, you know, you've got this university, which is pretty large. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of service industries. But beyond that, I mean, you're searching for stuff that you can make money at. Unless your father owns a company, mm-hmm. you're kind of stuck. I think that's the problem. And I think getting in, you have to know somebody to kind of get into a job in Columbus. To go to another city, it's not quite as hard, I guess. I don't know. That's what I had to do.
I think that that's one of the issues that's brought up in Rita Price's article, too. It's relational. It's relationships, who you know, that sort of a thing. Dave, thanks for your call.
Okay.
Take care. Dave wasn't too surprised. What about you? What do you make of this? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Booth in Sunbury, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Booth.
Hi, I'm inclined to agree with Dave for the most part. I think that one of the reasons Columbus has been recession resistant is because we have a high percentage of white collar jobs in industries that tend to be recession resistant: education, insurance, and government.
Previously, government. Yeah,
and all of those things require some degree of education to advance in them at all. As he says, Columbus schools aren't doing a terrific job of getting people ready for college, it would appear, from what we were reading in the paper. And so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that lower-income kids who are not likely to be well-educated, are not likely to have a lot of opportunities in Columbus. Columbus, that isn't the kind of economy Columbus has.
And yet, it's okay. So, it's. Were you surprised, Booth, by this? Columbus ranked 45th out of 50 cities?
I was
just above Detroit.
I was modestly surprised until I thought about it. And yeah, I think Dave's right. There just aren't that many jobs that aren't available for well-educated kids. And if we're not doing a good job of taking the lower-income kids and educating them well and getting them up that way, there's no other good routes out. I agree.
All right, Booth, thanks for your call.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Take care. The number is 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. I want to know if listeners out there are surprised by this news. And if you think, you know, we've had two callers now who say, well, Columbus City schools aren't that great. We know that. You know, but to rank just above Detroit, are we still making up for that? And does that still explain everything, or is there a little bit more to it? I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, someone, you know, it depends on where you're coming from. Maybe someone who's pro mass transit would say it's because we don't have any trains here. You know, maybe it's a point of view thing. Give us a call and share your point of view. 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org, or go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. That's a good way to get started. Charlotte in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Charlotte.
Yeah, good morning, Anne. Thanks for taking care of my call.
You bet.
By the way, the CODA bus number 7 ends at the Southeast Terminal in Southeast Columbus and at the northwest end of its route at University Plaza after winding through OSU campus. And for all practical purposes, that campus might as well be on the far side of the moon for kids living in Southeast Columbus.
I think you bring up a really interesting point. I remember I wrote a column about this many years ago for the Dispatch, where they had a program at Columbus City Schools where if you had a good attendance rate and that kind of a thing, you got to go to this, and I guess it was for sixth graders, you got to go to this day at Ohio State. And the percentage of kids from Columbus City Schools that had never even been on the OSU campus was startling. I can't remember what it was now, but it was startling.
And you also mentioned, you also got into the other half of my point, you can't very well send out the truant officers if you're cooking the attendance books to begin with.
Hmm.
All right, I don't know how many times when I was living in Southeast Columbus, I would look out my kitchen windows and see three or four kids in the middle of school hours wandering around the alleys, getting into trouble, doing everything except learning. We are sinking our own children into destitution through lack of getting our act together. And I don't care, Democrat or Republican, if you give a hang about keeping this economy and keeping your world power based on economic strength, they had better get serious in this town about educating their children. That said, what other industries do we have besides research at OSU and blowing hot air at the State House? What else do we manufacture here in Columbus? So if we're going to be a focal point for preparing our children to move on, it shouldn't surprise us that they do move on to get their jobs and maybe come back eventually or retire in some other state because life here is just too aggravating.
I'm wondering how much a brain drain contributes to the bottom line of these statistics as well. Charlotte, thanks for your always invigorating remarks. We appreciate them.
Well, energetic, if not necessarily insightful, but thank you, Ann.
Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Tyler. Tyler writes, as I understand the study released last week, it provides an assessment of upward mobility for a past generation that is now well established in their careers. I believe Columbus has made major strides in investing in its low-income youth, and the outlook for today's children in terms of upward mobility is much brighter than the study results. And I get that. I agree, Tyler, and I think that it is, of course, an assessment of a past generation because the current generation is just growing up now. But really? Just one above Detroit? Seriously? That's what I don't get. Give us a call. But point well taken. 614-292-8513. Paul in Alveda? Where are you?
Good morning.
Where are you calling from?
It's up by Finley.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. John.
Oh,
good
it's
morning.
John. Okay. John yeah. from near Finley. Well, we got that wrong. All right.
my question, I guess, is a little bit about the parameters of the test, which you covered just a little of the sample, which you covered a little bit before. But it would certainly seem to me it would have something to do with the, you know, in some of these cities, there's a great deal of gentrification going on in the downtown areas. And a lot of these areas. And cities like Columbus, I don't see much of that. It seems like it's more people moving out. And it would seem that would have, and then all the other points, of course, the school systems, particularly in the inner cities, are getting worse, worse, worse.
Yes, but were you, all right, so Columbus is in the bottom, is really in the bottom of the barrel. It's number five from the end. Do you still think of it as in the same category as Detroit?
No, but I would, as I understand the test, this is a relative test based on what things were a generation ago. So, you know, I think that there's been probably more suburbanization, if that's a word, in the Columbus area than there has been in some of these other areas.
Okay.
Where there's, I mean, obviously Detroit doesn't have any gentrification of the inner city yet, but you know, it's taking place in a lot of cities, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and San Francisco. I mean, a lot of these cities are areas that were low income are now high-end places. You know?
It's funny you say that because I was just in Michigan, and one of the headlines, and I think it was the Detroit Free Press, was the question, and people are concerned about gentrification and what that'll do to the city. But, well, okay, John, we've got your name right now, so thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
You too. We are talking about, the headline in the Dispatch was American Dream Beyond Reach. By Rita Price. She wrote a good story about it. Tom Borgerding at WOSU had a good story on it today. You can check that out if you go to our website at WOSU.org. What do you make of it, though? 45th out of 50 cities in the country with the least, it was at the bottom of the barrel for possibilities for children moving up the economic food chain. Are you surprised? Are you surprised that Columbus came just ahead of Detroit? And are you, like me, surprised that Charlotte and Atlanta were down there at literally at the bottom of the barrel, 49th and 50th, respectively? Let me know what you think. We're going to take a quick break, then we'll be right back to our open forum on the economy in Columbus and what it speaks to for future generations. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Is that a new voice on the radio? Oh, my gosh. That would be Rachel Quimby, my assistant associate producer. And we welcome her to the airwaves now. She's been in the control room for some weeks, and now she's hit the air. So welcome aboard, Rachel. We are talking about intergenerational upward mobility. Columbus ranks 45th out of 50 cities in a study released a few weeks ago by Harvard University and the University of California at Berkeley. We wouldn't even be talking about this today if we were somewhere in the middle, somewhere just below the middle, somewhere just above the middle. We might be talking about it if we were in the top five. But we're talking about it today because Columbus is in the bottom five. It's 45th out of 50th. It's an open forum on this topic. We'd love to hear from you, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. By the way, we have posted a link to Tom Borgerding's story about that today on our Facebook page. If you want to check out the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, you can get to it very easily from there. Let's see. Amy in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I just wanted to talk for just a minute. First of all, you said that Columbus has never been a strong industrial city, and that's not true. It was a very strong...
But I'm talking about compared to something like Detroit. But yes, it was a lot stronger. Yes, there was a lot more industry here. I'm sorry. No, that's okay.
And second, we need to quit blaming the school system and the teachers, and we need to start looking at the fact that it takes all of us working together. And when you have parents supporting the children for outrageous behavior, or when parents are struggling to make ends meet because there's so many minimal paying jobs, it's a systemic thing. It's not just the schools. And I'm a person who teaches in a private school system. Mm-hmm. I don't have these issues, but I have a number of friends who teach in the public school systems, and the things that they work with are horrific. We might start with 30 children at the beginning of the school year. We end up with 30 children, but they're not the same 30 children because of being evicted and moved to a different part of the city for several months and then coming back, trying to avoid that 30 or 90-day cycle of eviction.
Mm-hmm.
35 kids in a high school classroom, half of them being special needs children under the direction of one teacher.
Mm-hmm. Are you there, Amy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah, transience, big problem in Columbus City Schools and in most city school districts in the country. Transience is a horrible problem.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And to put all the blame on teachers is nuts. It's a denial kind of thing. So, the school system is rife with issues, but you know what? It's the wealthy at the top and the rest of us down here. And the jobs aren't there, and the jobs that are there are very low paying, and they're keeping that cycle of poverty continuing. It's just continuing and continuing and continuing. And if we love this country, then an educated population is going to serve us all.
Were you surprised by the results of that report?
I was disappointed.
Okay.
You know,
thought things had gotten better.
Columbus is a very comfortable city to mm-hmm. live in and to raise your children, certainly, it's certainly not a battle zone, mm-hmm. unless, of course, you're living inner city near East, where children are killing each other. But it is a comfortable city, and it's easy to get around in. And I'll say it. We've got a great mayor who seems to be working really hard to keep things improving. But we've got a core of elite who are running this city on the other side, and they really don't care.
All right. Well, Amy, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
So, do you agree with Amy? Do you think this is the 99% versus 1% thing? Do you think the people at the top don't care about the people at the bottom? Some people might disagree with that and say that they, on the contrary, the very, very, you know, the captains and of industry in this city have every vested interest in making sure that it is prosperous and that everyone prospers, right? rising waters lift all boats, something like that. I think there's something like that out there. So let me know what you think. Do you agree with Amy? Do you disagree with Amy? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Brad in Columbus sent us an email. He says, I have to disagree with the callers I've heard so far. I grew up in Central Ohio and lived in Chicago for 20 years. Moving back here, I find that it is a very livable city with a great deal to offer. I think the view that everyone moves away is countered by what is actually happening. Places like Delaware have mushroomed from people deciding Columbus and Central Ohio are on the rise. As far as the survey results go, I think the reliance on union-type jobs could be why those results are as they are. The professional community are doing fine. People who hope for union protection to give them the job their parents held in a factory are in for a rude awakening. Once again, I want to refer people to Tom Borgerding's story today. He covered those issues, talked with a guy who grew up in a family where, you know, GM was an option and so forth. There were other factory-type manufacturing jobs out there that his parents had, and he did not have access to those jobs. They were gone by the time he grew up and was making a living, and he's a trucker now. So why don't you give that story a listen? You can go to our website, or you can go to Facebook, and we've got it posted right there. Let's see. Tim in Columbus. Hi, Tim. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Ann. I just wanted to speak to this topic as a guy who moved here. Well, I moved here in 1995 from one capital to another. I mean, I moved from now bankrupt Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, Columbus seemed like the land of opportunity. And I know I've since met tons of people who moved here. I know hardly anyone who's from Columbus. I mean, I know lots of people that kind of gravitated here either to Ohio State or because they were in a band and they were mm-hmm. playing in the scene in Columbus and just kind of ended up here. And I just think,
we're listening.
Oh, okay. I just think that maybe we just need to set our expectations a little bit differently than some other cities because,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, there's something playing in the background.
Yeah,
there.
No problem.
Okay, I think that, you know, there's a lot of opportunity here, but it's mostly in retail and things like that, which just have a lot lower threshold of opportunity. So you're gonna have a lot more competition for people that are trying to move up because they're gonna hit that same flat zone where everybody's competing for the, you know, $25,000 a year job right out of college or right out of high school. And I just think that there's a lot of work, but it's just not going to lend itself to that upward mobility the way this study measures it.
Okay. All right, Tim, thanks for your call. I think it was interesting the way Tim put it, set our expectations differently. Tim, what do you mean by that? Meaning, is it a quality of life thing that it shouldn't just be about money, that there's is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because another caller mentioned it, and I've moved away from Columbus 3 times now and come back. So, I mean, I've lived in LA, I lived in Denver, I lived in near Philadelphia. And every time I came back, because I said, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, what is it, the parable of the prodigal son or whatever, where mm-hmm. it's like, I could be back in Columbus and living in a, you know, really nice environment for fairly cheap. And, you know, so I think it's about, you know, there's other factors to measure besides.
Yep. I guess we've lost Tim.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, you're still there. Something keeps cutting you off, though. But I get your point, and I thank you for your call. Thanks a lot. What do you think? You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We have an open forum today. We're talking about that Harvard University of California at Berkeley study. They compiled data and released it in a report last week. It's kind of a portrait of income mobility in the United States, and all of Ohio's metro areas kind of flunked the test. Columbus ended up 45th out of 50 cities, so I'm putting that at the bottom of the barrel. I do not understand the Charlotte, Atlanta, true bottom of the barrel, Charlotte at the 49th and Atlanta at 50th. If anyone out there has an idea about that, please give me a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm turning now to Larry in North Lewisburg. Where's North Lewisburg, Larry?
Right at the corner of Champaign County, Logan County, and Union County.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Yes, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. What do you think?
Well, basically, you know, the upper percentage of people that are needed in manufacturing and management is a small percentage of what people are really needed in manufacturing. Ohio has lost manufacturing in the last few years to the point where it's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some people I know that went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And they worked for General Electric for a while. They came back to Ohio. They're working for Honda now. You know, there are jobs to be had in Ohio, but they're limited by the number of factories we've lost. And until we get back to a manufacturing base where you produce a product, sell a product, and make a profit, you know, the economy in this area is going to continue to go downhill.
But do you feel like the economy in this area is going downhill?
It's going downhill because we're losing manufacturing. If you don't have a large number of people employed at decent paying jobs,
okay,
you cannot grow your retail.
Okay. Yeah, one of the people that Tom Boerding interviewed for his story, she works three jobs. Now, she's not through college yet, which I think is a big issue, but she works three jobs when she's not in classes, and when school starts, she cuts her hours down to 35 hours a week, but she works three jobs, and she thinks she makes about $24,000 a year. And what do you want to bet? She doesn't have any benefits to go with it. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Larry, for your call.
Yep.
Take care.
No problem.
Yep. An email from Abel writes, as you said, this study reflects the relative ability of a child 30 years ago to move up, not that of a child today. We don't know if that's gotten better or worse, so it's not right to act as if Columbus is at the bottom of the barrel just above Detroit. Also, economic mobility is good and desirable, but when talking about percentages of the whole for every person who moves up, another moves down the economic ladder. The study doesn't speak to any sort of absolute measure of prosperity in Columbus. It's more complicated than that. It sure is complicated. I agree, Abel. And I understand what you mean about it reflects the relative ability of a child 30 years ago to move up. But that's the only way we can study these things. It does make you question things a lot. And I'm glad that we have so many people who want to talk about it. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. I'm moving down the line to Ronald in Columbus. Welcome, Ronald. What's your comment?
Well, it's a very nuanced situation. I agree that the report is very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I think Columbus suffers in a lot of ways. We were talking about education. It seems like the parents, not just the schools, but the parents, there's no fire, it seems like, with all the negativity that goes on with Columbus schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you also, I'm a bus driver. A lot of people don't realize it, but in the inner city, there's a huge drug problem that's growing.
I know. Well, it's in the suburbs too, but it must be in the inner city too, right?
Well,
are you there?
And yeah, something came on from the show.
Okay.
And also, when you look at our political situation, I mean, people talk about the job situation. Well, most of that is caused by our political situation. We tend to vote for people that aren't looking out for working people. I heard one person blaming the unions. Well, they've been killing the unions here. Every time you turn around, they're trying to kill the unions. If you don't have strong unions, you're not going to get decent pay. And for some reason, everybody votes for these people that don't have their interest at hand. And I don't understand that. And that's why Columbus is not as... I'm still shocked by it because Columbus is a pretty good city overall.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start looking at the way we're voting in the state and the way the laws are being... the laws that they're putting out, how they're wasting time on trying to keep a woman from doing this and doing that instead of creating jobs. Look at what he did with the train. You know, he's bragging about that. Yeah, we won't get paid. We'll have to subsidize the train, but it will expand the economy. In the future, we're going to need that. It will take cars off the road. You know, it's just the Republicans are killing every opportunity we have to expand, and that's why we're in the situation we're in.
All right. Ronald, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. You know, the Republicans have been in control, it seems like, for a long time now, but really only since about 1991 did they start to take control of the Ohio General Assembly, the statewide offices the elected offices. They haven't been in control that long. The Democrats were in control for at least as long before then. So who knows? There's one thing, paragraph in Rita Price's story in the Dispatch says, of the nation's 50 largest metro areas, Columbus was number 46 on that measure. Cleveland ranked 45th and Cincinnati 42nd. No other state had more cities in the bottom 10. But I think this is a relative thing. We have a lot of big cities in Ohio. We have a lot of big urban areas. Is it fair to compare Ohio on those terms with Utah or with Arizona, or, you know, we have a lot of major metro areas, and it makes Ohio complicated and interesting and amazing on many levels just because of that, not the least of which it's a way to rake in a bunch of money during campaign time because there's about seven different media markets in the state. So I guess that's one way to make money in this state. 614-292-8513. 8513 is the number to call. I'm going to take another call real quick before we take a quick break. Jeff in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Oh, rats. We lost Jeff. So then next in line is Ann. Hi, Ann in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment on Amy's comment about the captains of industry in Columbus. I think they're very supportive of initiatives that support, you know, the economy in Columbus through the arts, education, and things like that. I think they're very involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the issues, and this is just across the country, and I don't know why it's hurting Ohio so much, is just the high cost of higher ed. I think about, you know, the debt that many students are carrying,
right,
almost a mortgage, you know, so that's a house that they're having to pay off before they can even buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
I think about my father-in-law who worked in a very, very small paper mill town and worked for the mill and the benefits he had. I mean, he had amazing benefits even after the mill closed. And I think we need to start thinking about that with these lower paying jobs and fast food, especially. I think we need to start offering benefits in those service areas because they're growing and this is where people are working and we need to take care of them.
Now, I was gone, but wasn't there a demonstration this weekend, perhaps?
Yeah, last Monday.
Okay, mm-hmm. About the wage issue.
Yeah, I don't know if there was any, you know, I don't know anything about that.
Okay, all right.
If there was a good outcome or a bad outcome with that, especially hitting the fast food industry.
So you're saying the people who are the job creators in this region, they care about it. This is something that matters. They have skin in the game, but
right,
we're not seeing that in terms of like benefits and wages and that sort of thing.
Well, I think a lot of the captains of it, you know, a lot of the people who are really involved are in different industries.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have this growing population of face-to-face service industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's where things seem to be growing, but the wages are not. You know, the young girl who's working three jobs,
right,
you know, and making $24,000, you know, she's working, you know, wage pressing or, you know, maybe doing nails or something like that, where you have a face-to-face person. And those wages have not been increasing as they should, I think.
Okay.
And does that mean we're going to have to pay more for a burger and fries? Maybe that's what we need to do.
Okay.
So anyway.
I would eat less of it, hopefully.
I would too.
All right, Ann, thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We'll continue our conversation after this. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about that report that came out a few weeks ago from economists at Harvard University and the University of California at Berkeley. They compiled data and released it in a report. It's sort of a portrait of income mobility in the United States. Columbus did not rank well. Columbus metropolitan area, by the way. Email from Becky. She says, I have a question concerning today's topic. And Becky, we're going to get to your question. This is an open forum, though, on the topic. If you have an idea about why things are the way they are and are, whether or not you were surprised or not, what do you make of the fact that Charlotte and Atlanta are at the bottom of the barrel? They're supposed to be the big, you know, the next great thing. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Email from Becky now. I have a question concerning today's topic. What geographical area does this study consider? Does it take just areas considered to be in the city, inside 270, or does it also include suburbs in the entire Columbus metropolitan area that is used to calculate the city's population? I agree with the callers who cited the fact that there aren't a lot of jobs for people without college degrees, but I would specify that there aren't a lot of good jobs for people without college degrees. Jobs in the service industry are abundant, but they don't pay well or provide much room for advancement. Okay, and from what I understand, Becky, it is a metro area. It's a study of the nation's 50 largest metro areas, if that makes any difference. Largest metro areas. Let's get to Jenny in Coshocton. Hi, Jenny, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, everything that's been talked about has been mirrored in Coshocton County, so it's not just the cities. We've lost major industry. We're close to the bottom of unemployment. But you can skew a study any way you want it to go. You know, somebody else can do the same study and come out with Columbus up near the top. The Charlotte and Atlanta at the bottom makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't see an explanation. It'd be interesting to see more about that. But you're right, you can skew. But I mean, they took pretty. It's based on millions of anonymous earnings records.
Okay, and how? I haven't read it. How old is this study?
Well, it was released a couple weeks ago.
Okay, and when did they do the study?
Well, I mean, it's based on the last generation. I mean, that's the only way they could do it. They can't tell us what kids today are going to be making 20
right,
years from now.
Right,
but that's the only way we can do things like this.
All right, but then if you look at, I've read Kiplinger Magazine, Money Magazine, and Columbus is considered one of the best cities to go to. Four careers, four jobs. It's stated that that's where a lot of the jobs are. Now, granted, you're going to have to be in certain areas, and yes, I know there's low paying,
You know what the distinction about this is, though, is that this is a question of how children in low income, from low income backgrounds, so let's just say the bottom of the 99%. How they're faring. Are they making more than their parents? Are they changing? And that's the question. It's not that, you know.
I can answer that. I'm a former teacher. I see three school districts in our county. Those children move through our school districts at least once. And been in every one of the school districts at least once in a year.
So it's transient's problem is one of the things you're saying.
That's one of the problems. Parents. There is not support from parents. Education in this...
Are you there?
Yeah. Okay. I heard background talk there.
Yeah.
The education is not important to some parents anymore. It's the school's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It takes parents to help be part of the school process. And you're not seeing that, not like in years past.
Okay.
To move up. Let's face it, Columbus has a buku of small colleges and community colleges that you can go to and get a degree. The medical field is considered one of the top fields to be into. You can become an STNA and then move up. You can be a medical technician, a radiologist. Any sorts of things.
Well, I would love to be a radiologist if I could pass science. I mean,
you've got tutoring that can help you. My daughter's in paramedic school. She's got tutoring for that the part that she has that's a little difficult for her. My daughter tutored, another daughter tutored other students in areas. But the other thing is, I agree with the person who said, the woman who said, the cost of school is getting out of sight.
Okay.
It's too much.
All right. Well, Jenny, I want to get to a few more people, but thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Don in Cincinnati, you're on the air. Hi, Don.
Yes, you've been talking a lot about the poorest cities, and I wondered maybe we can get a clue from these smarty pants if we picked out which cities they were calling the best cities and see what they did there to make them the best cities. Thanks,
well,
that's all.
Yep, okay. Well, I've got those top five at least. Salt Lake City, San Jose, San Francisco, Seattle, San Diego. So what are you going to do?
They
like the West Coast, right. Well, Don, thanks for your call. What are they doing differently in those cities? What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Bruce from Galena, you're on the air. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for covering this topic. It's really important. And I think that there's a major issue that everyone has missed so far. And that is, this study is a historic look back on whether children were able to surpass their parents' standard of living. And the results depend a lot on where you started. So Charlotte and Columbus were relatively prosperous. And then our world changed. All people my age, roughly, the baby boomers, pretty much had to really screw up not to do better than their parents. We all got a better life than our parents had, as they did than theirs.
Meaning we were post-Depression, post-World War II.
And the economy boomed, and we all went up.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that economy now. And the chances of doing better than your parents today are limited to those very few people that are going to make millions of dollars because they started out on third base.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us don't. And so the kids of people our age today are facing a much, much more difficult climb up the hill because the jobs that were available to the previous generation aren't available to them. Now, why does Charlotte look bad? Because Charlotte was and remains a great place to live and work if you're employed, but the chances of passing your parents aren't that great anymore. Same with Columbus. Mm-hmm. It was a very friendly place to work. It was recession-proof. Lots of people flocked there.
Mm-hmm.
But the next generation is not going to have those advantages. Why are the California places doing well? Well, guess what? That's where the tech work is.
Right.
That's where the high-paid jobs are. And that's the economy that we're living in.
And we have figure out a way, if we want to change that, we have to figure out a way to attract more of that here.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of attracting it to places. I think it's a national problem.
Okay.
We have as has been alluded to by other people, we have a remarkably unequal society at the moment, probably as unequal as it has ever been in the history of this nation. That doesn't lead to prosperity. That leads to uprisings.
Oh, boy.
I'm
reading a history of Paris right now, and they've had their share of those. All right, Bruce, I want to squeeze in a few more people, but thanks for your comments.
Thanks
for calling. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's see. Moses in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. My perspective is, living in Columbus for almost 13 years, I think the thing that I found out was some of the job in Columbus, that if you apply there, you have to know somebody that works there to make you have that opportunity. And also, as a minority people, I found that there's a lot of jobs, even minority people are qualified for, not even minority people, it's hard for you to get that job. And when you get that job, they don't want you to stay there for too long, even for the state. I have friends, families who went through that. And another problem, I think, with the city is that this school demarcation, which I call is a demarcation, which is like affecting some of the young kids. Like if you're in Columbus, if you live in Columbus, you can't go to like Dublin school or better school. And the reason why I'm saying that, when I used to work as a human resources officer, we were hiring, they were making us hire more kids like you know, with high school diploma from like Dublin, what is in all those areas, instead of hiring a lot of kids from Columbus. So I think that's another factor, because if people like those young kids coming from those schools have opportunity to work like in white collar jobs that, you know, can make it out the experience, I think that can boom, boom our economy.
I think that's a really interesting, because you're talking about first time jobs now, Moses, and I want to turn to another caller who wants to bring that up too. That's a very interesting point. It's that first job. So thanks, Moses, for your call.
Okay.
Take care. Bob in Columbus, you're on the air. You wanted to talk about those first jobs.
I do a little bit. I read the study and I read the article in the Dispatch, and I think what we're looking at here in Columbus is kind of a perfect storm. Students aren't really well prepared in Columbus public schools. There's not the opportunities there were when I was a kid. There's not the opportunity.
Are you there?
I am. There's not the opportunities for kids for that first job that there was when I get out of high school. And I'm from Columbus. So the kids aren't really prepared in school. They don't really have a great work ethic. The jobs that are out there, those entry-level jobs, are all really low pay, low skill. Mm-hmm. And then the kids kind of have a hard time landing that first job. They don't really, they really haven't been exposed to the opportunity to successfully complete that first job.
Okay.
You know, now there's lots of opportunities if you go and you get an associate's degree. There's lots of opportunities if you graduate from high school and you can land an apprenticeship someplace. You know, one of the things they're doing in Germany is the public schools almost nationwide have sort of teamed with companies and building trades so that as the kids go through high school, they come out of the last 2 years of high school prepared with the second 2 years of an apprenticeship for plumbing or electricity or something.
Another caller, they just hung up, but they wanted to talk about exactly that. Bob, I'm going to try to get to one more caller who's going to follow up on what you're talking about.
All right, thanks, Ann.
All right, take care, Bob. Charles in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Charles. You wanted to talk about vocational ed. You don't think there's enough of it?
Well, from what I've seen in the area and in other areas like up in Michigan where I used to live, is that there really isn't a lot of focus on the vocational schools like they were in the past.
Right, but vocational schools in the past talked about like machine work and stuff like that, and those jobs are gone. What would vocational schools teach these days?
Well, while there is that, there's still plumbing. There's still welding. We've actually had a shortage of welders over the years. Trained electricians, especially in the high-tech area, are not going away. And there just is a strong emphasis on just the college jobs, but not the non-degree jobs that we do with that we need to basically like our infrastructure to keep things running.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Charles, thank you for your call.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Real quick, Lindsay, we have about 30 seconds, but I wanted to squeeze you in. Hi, Lindsay.
To say I heard the teacher comment on tutoring and stuff like that, which I think is great, but I think that there's also lots of single mothers who or parents who can't afford it. Tutoring is expensive. Mm-hmm. I have a third grader who went through about 2 months of tutoring last year at Como Elementary School, but the tutoring was solely focused on state testing.
Huh.
It didn't have anything to do with, you know, just normal general academics, and they offered that for free, but, you know, that just doesn't happen. When I was in school, I'm 30, but when I was in school, we had tutoring, or, you know, we went down to Linden Rec Center, you know, they offered stuff down there.
Lindsay, before, we just have like a few seconds left, but are you better off than your parents?
No.
Okay.
No.
How old are you?
I'm 30, and I'm a home hospice aide. I've been an aide for 12 years. I also heard her mention the STNA. Jobs don't pay well, you know, so I'm working 40 hours a week, but the money's just not there.
And
I'm having to, you know, focus on utilities and rent. And
you're one of those people that we have take care of our the most vulnerable among us.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody for your calls today. We really appreciate it. It was a great way to get back in the swing of things. Once again, want to welcome Rachel Quimby to the airwaves. And thanks for listening today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.